Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. We'll read verses 1 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. I'll read one other verse to you in the same chapter, verse number 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the creation of church, especially our church. Lord, in a day when churches are closing their doors and not having evening services and not growing, ours is on the move for you. Thank you for a preacher with his vision, with your power. Now, Father, please fill us with your power as we listen. Give us the message from the man of God tonight that we need, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
And if you did not know it, Brother Hollinger was singing during that song while he was playing the piano, which I'm shocked because I didn't know he could walk and chew gum at the same time. But that was good. Fantastic. The sermon tonight is quite simple. I'm amazed at how many people, though, really need to take some time and think about what I'm about to say to you. The sermon is entitled, God Loves Me. God loves me. In John chapter 20, verse number 2, it says, Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. In John 21:7, it says, Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. In John chapter 21, verse number 20, it says, Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. The text here, there are verses about John. You see, God used John to pen these verses in the book of John, and notice that John kept calling himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's what John was calling himself. I'm glad that John recognized the fact that God loved John. John is the only, he is the one that God allowed to put those scriptures in there. Now, it is John that wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he wrote John 3:16. We know the verse, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 tells us that God loved the whole world, but wait a minute. And John was used by God to pen John 3:16, but wait. John said, God loved the whole world, but John said, I'm a part of that world, and I am the disciple who Jesus loves. So if we're not careful, and I do not think by any stretch of the imagination that John 3:16 is what you'd call generic, but John 3:16 is all inclusive. But when something's all inclusive, it sure is nice to see your name on the list. And John said, I know he loved the whole world, but John kept walking around saying, Hey, do you know who I am? People say, No, who are you? He said, I'm the disciple Jesus loves. I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. It's amazing, though, how many people are not convinced of this truth. Did you know it's a big deal to God that you know God loves you? We seem to make a big deal to other people that God loves them, but I need you to understand it is a big deal to God that you understand and receive the fact that God loves you. Did you know that a person's love receiver can be broken? There are people that do not receive love well. There are people that do not receive the love of God well. I'll show you something. When we live on the back side of the mountain out there, and we had a television that we used. We never had a television in our home raising our children. Never had one until Osama bin Laden bombed the United States of America. And I got a TV because I felt like I needed to know what was going on in the news. We moved on the back side of the mountain. Let me tell you something. First of all, we had no cell phone reception. We couldn't get any internet back there. We did have indoor toilets, but to get any reception, we got, you all know, we call these rabbit ears. Do you know why? You see it? We call those rabbit ears. You hook those up to your TV, and that this is not direct TV, so you know. You hook those up to your TV so that you can receive the signal. That way we could watch the news, and you find the right family station. You could watch Andy Griffith and some high quality television like that. Now, let me tell you something. These things, if they're not positioned right, they would not pick anything up. You'd have to go to them and you'd hook them up to the TV, and they were supposed to pick up that transmission of what was going to come through that screen. And sometimes you'd have to put them like this and like this. And there are times that Mrs. Owens was hanging out the window with one arm up, and I'd say, okay, honey, put your left arm up. Okay, that's a good ball game. You just wait right there. But those things helped us to receive. Now, if we were not receiving well, it was not a matter that we were not getting the signal. The problem is we were not receiving the signal. You could have been somewhere and there was a signal strong for you, but maybe it wasn't strong for me. Now, let me explain something to you. God loves you, and God's love signal is strong everywhere. And if you say, well, I'm not receiving it, well, I'll tell you this, it dead sure is not God's fault. It is not God. Your receiver is broken. Your receiver is tainted. Your receiver is weak. But folks, God said He loved you. And He always has loved you. And He always does love you. And if you don't get it, it's you. It's not God. Your rabbit ears are not picking up God's love signal. His signal is strong and it's clean. And folks, I have to tell you, this is a really big deal to God. God loves you. And God didn't want to just be able to say that so He could say that. He said that for a reason. He wants you to believe that He loves you. I think God loved what John said. I think every time that John walked around introducing himself, saying, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved, I think the Lord said, I love that. I love the fact that John understands that I love him. And folks, this is not just God trying to put another notch on his belt. This is not just God being able to say, well, I'm God and I love everybody. No, God loves you. He loves you. He doesn't do it out of duty. He does it because God loves you. And He wants you to see that. And He wants you to accept that. And that love is a gift. When we look at John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave. Hey, God loves you. And the love is a gift. There's something I want you to think about for a moment, though. Have you ever given someone a gift and had it rejected or had it ignored? It's probably a bad illustration, but when I didn't have the privilege of going to a Christian school, I had to go to the public school. I had a class ring, and I had given it to Mrs. Owens. She wasn't Mrs. Owens back then. We were older teenagers. Didn't have the guidelines for dating. So I don't think couples ought to date alone in cars and all that. We followed some of those guidelines, but they weren't common where I came from at all. Well, we were boyfriend and girlfriend, and she had my class ring. And one Friday night, I had spent some time with another young lady. Wasn't any big deal to me. My wife wasn't seeing eye to eye with it, or back then, Sherry, it didn't turn out that it was a good idea for me to spend time with this other girl. And everything turned out fine. We, of course, you know, we ended up getting married, and now we've been married for 31 years. A few, many, many years ago, I was going through a bunch of my personal items, and I was looking, I asked my wife, we had been married for 20, 25 years. I said, you know something, honey, I just still, for the life of me, I cannot figure out where my old class ring is. I've looked and looked and looked for that thing. And she got real quiet. She was wearing it. Of course, it was a gift to her because we were going steady. And then I said, you haven't seen it around, have you? She said, no. She got under conviction about it. She came and told me. She said, do you remember at one time in high school when we were going steady and you had gone to the restaurant and eaten with so-and-so? I said, no, I don't remember that. She said, oh, yes, sir, you do. She said, I was so mad at you. She said, I flushed your toilet down the, or your, just flushed your toilet. I flushed your ring down the toilet. She said, and I never thought I'd have to tell you. She said, but I guess I need to let you know. I said, honey, go get it. She took my gift. And she flushed it. And let me tell you all something. We laugh at that. But let me tell you, God loves you. God loves you. And it, when you don't give any attention to the gift, when you don't respect the gift, when the gift doesn't mean anything to you, folks, it is a really, really big deal to God that God loves you. Don't take that as a simple thing. John was the disciple who Jesus loved, and John knew that God loved him. John recognized that God loved him, and John accepted that God loved him, and John received that God loved him, and John enjoyed it, and John talked about it. Now, folks, we all tell others that God loves them, but how often do we tell others that God loves us? That's what John did. I call the sermon, God Loves Me. We sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, but do you really believe it? This sermon's purpose is to help you to know how to better receive and believe that God loves you. It's very simple. I'm going to give you some things that you can do to help yourself to be reminded of the love of God, to be convinced of the love of God. And folks, I don't want the only verse in the Bible. If the only thing you ever think about is that, well, for God so loved the world and I'm a part of the world and I'm a part of the great big crowd. Folks, it's far more personal than that. God loves you as an individual. You. Stop cramming yourself into that big unit of mankind and stop and realize your God is far bigger than that. Your God is able to love you as an individual. And if you'll do what I tell you in the next 10 or 15 minutes, you are going to better be a receiver of God's love. Listen, there are some of you, you're not even a good receiver of people's love. I know people in this room, you don't receive love well. There are wives in this room that love their husbands dearly, and the husband has a love receiver that's whacked out. He doesn't receive love well. There are husbands that love wives, but the wife's love receiver has been tampered with. It's broken. There is something, and it's not a matter of that love is not coming toward them. It's a matter that their receiver's not picking it up. There are people that are a part of my congregation that come to this church. I love them, and I love them very deeply, but they don't receive the love very well. And it's not an absence of love from the pastor. It is a problem with the person in the pew that is not receiving love right. Something's wrong with their receiver. And it's almost like this. The things I'm going to tell you, if you'll do them, they'll help to position your rabbit ears, your receiver, so you pick up those signals and that love that God has for you. Again, they're quite simple. They'll be quick. But listen, number one, you need to believe the Bible. You say, oh, preacher, you're always saying this. You're right. As long as I'm in my right mind, I'll keep saying that. The Bible is God's word. And if you want to have a personal connection with God in regard to His love for you, you need to just believe the Bible. Because the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. God's word is our final authority on everything. It's the glue that holds everything together. Believe it or not, you have got to believe that the Bible is the word of God. Hey, you say, well, I don't feel it. That's fine. If you don't feel it, you better just believe the Bible, because God said He loves you. He printed it in a book that's a perfect book, and God loves you. And one of the things that will help you most is the Bible says God loves you, therefore God loves you. The Bible is 100% true. Believe God loves you because He said it in His book. That'll start you off. If you're having a bad day and you say, well, I don't feel like being loved, God still loves you. You say, why? Because He wrote that He loved you. Yes. Number two, something that'll adjust your receiver a little bit. Tell others He loves them. I'll explain this to you as we go along. I said, first of all, you need to believe the Bible. God said He loves you. That settles it. But secondly, tell others that God loves them. He said, well, I thought this was all about me feeling loved. I know it, but you listen to this. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul did in Romans 5:5, where Paul was used by God to write, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Paul was busy telling others that God loved him. See, as you strengthen the faith of others concerning the love of God, it will strengthen your faith. John told others that God loved them. Remember, it is John that wrote John 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world. Hey, I'm not shocked that John walked around saying, I'm the disciple who Jesus loved. Why is that? You look at John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. John was busy telling everybody that God loved them. I'm not shocked then that John was stronger in his belief that God loved him. Why? He was busy taking that belief and convincing others of what he believed. When Mrs. Owens tells someone else that I love her, it strengthens her belief in my love for her. I'll tell you all something. I'll tell you what would help some of you that, see, the Bible teaches once you're saved, you're always saved. It's called the security of the believer. It's called eternal security. I'll tell you something that would help some of you. If you would go out and win people to Christ and then make sure you're very thorough in teaching them the security of the believer, some of you would be less insecure about your salvation if you were more promoting the security of the believer to others. If some of you would speak up about your belief in the Bible, you'd be less insecure about your belief in the Bible. There's just something about teaching others what you believe that strengthens what you believe. And I say to you, if you say, I struggle a little bit with God loving me, then spend a bunch of time telling other people that God loves them, because as a byproduct of it, you will strengthen your faith in God's love for you. So I said, number one, believe the Bible because God said He loves you. I said, number two, spend time convincing others that God loves them. It will then enhance your understanding and belief in God's love for you. Number three, you have to realize that God's love is not like man's love. You have to realize that God's love is not like man's love. There's some of you, you struggle with this thought that God loves you. How could God be that interested in you? Some of you are very disappointed in yourself and you have all these reasons why you don't feel like God loves you. But let me tell you something. A lot of times it's because you somehow think that God's love is like man's love, but God's love is not like man's love. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 9, it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He said, my ways are higher than yours, my thoughts are higher than yours, and I will guarantee you His love is out of the ballpark compared to yours or man's love. Man's love is weak. Man's love is tainted. Man's love is conditional. Man's love is temperamental. Man's love is limited. Hey, but God's love is not. Man's love is, as the New Testament describes it, phileo. It's fleshly. It's weak. But God's love is agape. It's strong and it's unlimited. If you've been let down by man's love, don't let it contaminate your perception of God's love. There's some of you, because you think God's love is like man's love, and some human being let you down in a love relationship, you think that God's the same, and so you have determined what love is based on people. Don't determine what love is based on people, determine what love is based on God. Man's love and God's love are different. And you need to understand that. You say, well, I just feel like nobody loves me. What you mean is you don't think someone in the human race loves you, but God loves you. Don't you compare God's love to man's love. That's virtually offensive to God. God loves greater and bigger and more thorough than man does. God's love is in a class all of its own. Someone said, you've not had a friend. And I remember my pastor who passed away some years ago, Brother Hiles. I heard someone say of him, said, you know what? You've never really had friendship till you had Jack Hiles as a friend. Well, let me tell you something. You've never really been loved until you've received the love of God. You say, oh, I've got family that love me. That's nothing. And I'm not trying to be offensive to family. That's nothing. Until you have been loved by God, and not just loved because He loves you. The love waves are out there. The problem is your receiver is not tuned in right. God loves you. You've never really been loved until you've been loved by the agape love of God. And so, you need to believe the Bible if you want that love relationship to be there. You need to tell others that He loves them. You need to realize that man's love is not like God's love, and God's love is not like man's love. And let me say number four, be reminded that He hates your sin, but He loves you. Be reminded that God hates your sin, but He loves you. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Hey, sometimes we get this idea, well, I hurt God, so He doesn't love me anymore. We are easily persuaded by the devil that when we sin, it causes God to stop loving us. That's not true. That's not true. God does not stop loving you because you do wrong. This in part is because I think sometimes we think others are going to behave the same way that we do. Are you the kind of Christian that when somebody disappoints you? Are you the kind of Christian when somebody hurts you? Are you the kind of Christian that when somebody falls into sin, you stop loving them? If you're that kind of Christian, then you're going to have a hard time believing that God loves you when you've fallen away from God. Folks, you have to understand something. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our sin may cause Him to stop blessing us, but our sin never causes Him to stop loving us. You know, it's the same way with us and our children. You're to love your children no matter how they behave. Right or wrong, you love them. I remember growing up that my mom and dad, they let me know that they loved me no matter what. Now, there were moments when I did wrong that they were not a blessing to me. Sometimes they were a curse to me. But they still love me. And what we do, the human race, and especially the less spiritual one, is when they sin, they think God doesn't love them anymore. That is not true. Now, God may stop blessing you like you could be blessed, but God never stops loving you. Romans 8:35, it said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice it didn't say what shall separate us from the love of Christ. Who? Really, there's only two people that would separate you from the love of Christ. The devil and you. Is your receiver broken? You got to get your love receiver. Look, the love of God is just as strong for you as it is for anybody else. Problem is, your receiver's not right. Something broken about your receiver. You say, well, preacher, I come from a really nasty background. God loves you. You say, but preacher, you don't understand what I did a couple of weeks ago. God loves you. Now, God may not be happy with what you did, but God loves you. And you may not have all the blessings that you wish you could have in life, but God loves you. You say, well, but preacher, you don't understand how I was raised. Doesn't matter how you were raised, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. You say, I killed a man, but God loves you. God's not happy that you killed somebody. I hope you didn't. But God loves you. And John, the disciple, he walked around introducing himself to everybody. He said, guess who I am? They said, well, who are you? He said, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. You say, how can I get that way? Believe the Bible. God said he loved you, and that ought to be enough. Believe the word of God. Then tell others that he loved them. Somehow the byproduct of that will be the strengthening of your faith in God's love for you. Then you've got to realize that God's love is not like man's love. Then be reminded that he hates your sin, but he loves you. Number five, realize he must love you or he'd be a liar. He must love you or he'd be a liar. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's a promise to love the whole world. He promised. God's not one that goes back on his promises. Hebrews 6:18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. God can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. God would not stop loving you if he could. But he doesn't want to, but he couldn't stop loving you. Why? Everything he is on the line. His whole reputation, everything that God is truth. And God said, I love you. And for God to renege on that promise is for the stars to fall from the sky. If God lied about this thing of loving you, the whole universe would explode. Everything depends on God's truth. And he said, one of my truths is I am love and I love you. And if God did not love you, God would be a liar. And if God were a liar, the whole universe is going to blow into the smithereens. That's how important you are. That's how secure the love of God is for you. Next, let me recommend that you stay close to the Holy Spirit and submitted to the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love. Love. Did you know God is love? And God lives inside you in the person of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit lives inside you. In other words, God's love is inside you. You just need to receive it. You need to accept it. You need to be like a dry sponge that's hungry for water. Submit to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. You say, preacher, I have a hard time accepting the love of God. Ask the Holy Spirit that lives within you to help you in your reception of the love that's inside you. And he will help you. He will help you. Now, what's our goal tonight? Our goal is that we, too, would see the love of God and how great God loves us, just like John did, where John was able to say, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. How do we do it? Believe the Bible. How do we do it? We tell others that God loves them. How do we do it? We realize that his love is not like man's love. How do we do it? We remind ourselves that God hates our sin, but God loves us. Hey, how do we do it? We realize that he must love us or he would be a liar. How do we do it? We stay close to the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is a part of the Godhead, the triune God that lives within us. And if God is love, the love of God is that close to us. We just must submit to it. Number seven, I would recommend that you read the love letter. Read the love letter. You say, what's a love letter? This is it. For English speaking people, is the King James Bible, inspired, preserved word of God. Jude verse 21 says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. You say, how in the world can I keep myself in the love of God? Keep in the Bible. Stay in the book. Hey, if you struggle with the love of God being personal, read all the verses about the love of God. Read them and reread them. And read them and reread them. I'm glad that there are a lot of people. There are people in here you couldn't quote. You could only quote one verse in the whole Bible. But probably if you can only quote one, I can tell you which one it is. It's John 3:16. I think if there were one verse I'd want everybody in the world to know, it'd be John 3:16. I'd say that everybody in here ought to memorize John 3:16. If you can't quote John 3:16, I think you need to. He said, I struggle believing anybody loves me, that God loves me. Hey, why don't you get in the love book? Get in this book about the love of God. By faith, believe that God loves you. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you want to believe it, you stay in the love book. And there's one last thing I'll say, and I'll be done. I would recommend, and I got onto this a little bit, I'd recommend that you memorize verses about the love of God. Now, folks, I'll remind you, it's a big deal that you receive the love that God has for you. It's a big deal. This isn't just some religious ritual that we're to mimic or voice from time to time. God loves you, and God wants you to receive that love. We go through life, and it's almost as if we get so caught up in so many things. Would you just slow down long enough and remember something? God loves you. God loves you. And it's a big deal that love is received. It's a big deal that love, there's a connection where you look back and you say, I know that God loves me. I love that scripture that I read to you earlier. John said, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. Hey, and folks, he loves you good or bad. Just so you know, everybody in here is bad. We're all a bunch of sinners. I'm glad that God loves me, good or bad. Now listen, memorize some verses. Some of you need to memorize John 3:16. If I couldn't get you to do anything about the sermon tonight, I wish some of you would go home, take a scrap piece of paper or 3x5 card, get your Bible out, write word for word from the King James Bible the verse John 3:16 and memorize it. Those of you that have never memorized it, you need to memorize your very first verse. Memorize John 3:16. You be reminded that your God loves you. Somebody needs to memorize Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a powerful verse. Somebody needs to memorize Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where it says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody needs to memorize Romans 5:5, where it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Memorize his promise to love you. And did you know, maybe it's a sin when you and I don't receive the love of God right. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Wouldn't you think that if somebody purely loved you and you rejected it or ignored it, could that be wrong? I would guess. There's not a parent here. There is not a parent here that would want their children to ignore their love. There is not a parent here that would want their child to be disinterested in their love. Well, folks, our human relationships are so minimal compared to the great God of the universe. He's our Heavenly Father, and God loves you. Every one of us should be able to walk away and say, you know who I am? I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves. If you'll do the things that I've said tonight, it'll help you to be more convinced that it's not just for God so loved the world, but you're a part of that world and you are an individual that God personally loves. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Somebody here tonight has a broken receiver. Someone tells you that they love you, you don't believe it. You don't receive love well. You struggle with the love of God. You struggle with the love of others. The things that I taught you tonight, if you will practice them, they'll help you. Is there somebody here tonight that would say, preacher, you know something? If I died tonight, I don't even know for sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. If you're not saved, you come tonight during this altar call and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. I believe there are many people here tonight. We won't always know who, but there are people here that struggle with God loving them. They struggle receiving love. You need to work on your love receiver. The love of God is powerful towards you, and it is not limited in the slightest. The problem is not God, it's you. And there are people who love you, but you're not a good receiver of love. You need to work on your reception of this precious, precious thing called love. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time.